All right, Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is like the dun-dun-dun chapter that you grew up parents quoting since you were in diapers. Parents probably made you memorize this verse. It's very well known. And you might be thinking, oh great, here we go. This is that verse. Here's what I want to do tonight. I think you know that you should honor and obey your parents. But I'm not always convinced teenagers know why they should honor and obey their parents. And when I say why, I think sometimes it's the answer is, well, because God's word says so. And that's good, that's true, but sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes in the heat of an argument, and everyone experiences heat, right, with their parents in terms of arguments and so forth, and some people are really excited about putting their hand up in the air there, but everyone understands what it means when I say there's heat sometimes in the relationship with your parents. Your parents are being talked to by Mr. Maka, and they're talking about the other end of the relationship. There's a two-way street. But if you were honest, you would say, no, there's times where we don't get along all the time perfectly. That's normal. That's understandable. And so sometimes when you want to do something and mom says no, or you want to go somewhere and dad says no, and you're asking why, and the answer is because I said so, and you're tempted in that moment, sometimes it's not just as easy as saying, well, I should honor and obey because the Bible says so. I want to help you build a conviction that honoring and obeying your parents is right and it's true. And I want to help you build that conviction from God's word. Because when the going will get rough, and in those moments, it will help you to have a deep conviction. So let's pray. And then we're going to look at Ephesians 6, and we're going to talk about how this is to be applied in your life. So let's pray together. Well, God, I just pray that you would help me now preach your word. God, I pray that you would illuminate your word to every teenager here. This is your living, active word that speaks to us. This is the words of Almighty God, the living, all-powerful, all-knowing Creator God. You are not like us. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. But yet you have decided to reveal yourself to us through this book. And in this book, you tell teenagers how to respond to their parents. So God, I pray that you would help everyone here respond to your word in a way that pleases you, in a way that honors you, and in a way that loves you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you don't have a deep conviction that something is right and true, then when the going gets difficult, you will abandon what you thought you believed to be true. And like I said, when you're in a disagreement with your parents, and I'm sure it happens frequently if you're normal. And if they're wrong on something, which, believe it or not, does happen, except in my house. The parents in my house are never wrong. But your parents aren't perfect. I don't think they would acknowledge that they are perfect. I don't think they would say they are perfect. But when there is a disagreement, I think you need a little bit more than just because God's word says so. So we're going to look and try to build a deep conviction as to why does God's word say to obey and honor your parents. So read Ephesians 6 with me. Ephesians 6, chapter 1, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First command, obey. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So there's the command. Children, honor your parents, obey your parents. Now I could just stop right here and just say, you know what? The Bible says so, so you should do it. But I don't know if that's going to help you build and cultivate this conviction in your soul. So in looking at Ephesians 6, sometimes we can focus in on a single verse and forget the context, forget the whole book. And what is the point? What is Paul trying to say in the entire book of Ephesians? And if you ever ask, why is this command towards the end of the book? Why did Paul wait to the end of the book to address parents and teens? And if you notice, towards the end of the book, he addresses three different groups of people. It's not just parents and teens. Who are the other groups that he addresses? Look at your Bible. Figure out who are the other groups that he addresses. Say it louder. Wives and husbands, good. And then he addresses parents and teens, and then he addresses slaves and masters. Now, slavery is very different than the horrid American slavery. It's nothing like that. It's very different. It was entered into voluntarily. But slaves and masters. Now, he addresses three relationships. Now, of the three relationships, which of the three parties does he address first? Okay, wives, and then what? And then children, and then slaves, right? So wives, then children, then slaves. Now, what do you notice about all those relationships? In those relationships, there's two people present. There's a person in authority, and there's a person under authority, so to speak, in those relationships. In each of those relationships, who does he address first? The one under authority. Why do you think that is? Yeah, that's a great answer. It's the hardest position. Sometimes that's very true, isn't it? Now, Paul, in addressing the Ephesians church, addresses those three relationships, and he addresses the person under authority first in each of those. And I think that it could be, I don't know Paul's mind and why he wrote this when he was writing this book, but it could be because that's the hardest position to be in. But what that means is I have parent and teen together, and they're in conflict. You know who I'm addressing first? I'm addressing the teenager, and I'm trying to help them see a truth from God's word. That doesn't mean that parents are always right and teenagers are always wrong, but it is in keeping with the fact that that you're addressed first. In you're given three verses, your fathers are addressed in verse 4 and have one verse. So this is towards the end of the book, and in order to understand the context of Ephesians 6, I'm going to ask for you to just walk through the book of Ephesians with me. I'm going to take about 5 minutes to do this, but I want this to help you build conviction for when we arrive in Ephesians chapter 6, what is Paul talking about? Now, last year, the boys and girls basketball teams won the banner, right? All right. Now, I remember the game, right? The game was at American University, is that right? Guys and girls, and it was a great environment. A lot of the people came out from the church, and it was a great environment. Now, imagine somebody coming to that event and saying, so is this the game they've played? This is the only game they've played all year? Now, if someone came to that game and said, so is this is their whole season? This is the game? This is the only game they've played all year? You would say, no. This is the end of the year. They had to do a lot of work to get to this championship game. It would make no sense to think that that was the entire season right there. They just showed up, they played one game, and they're done. That would make no sense. You would say, no, they had to practice in the off season. They had to play summer ball. They had to work out. They had to go through tryouts. They practiced as a team. They played through an entire schedule. Then they had to go to playoffs. Then they had to win each step of the playoffs. And then they get to this championship game. See, if I just walked into that game, in order to understand the meaning of that game, I would have to know how they got there. Do you know what I mean? Now, in order to understand Ephesians 6, we can't just dive in and say, what exactly does it say? We have to know how Paul got there. Because Ephesians 6 is like the championship game. It's at the end of the season. It's at the end of the book. But Paul does some amazing things in writing this book that I hope will help you build a conviction as to why you should honor and obey your parents. Got it? So we're going to walk through Ephesians. Just give me a couple minutes and turn to these verses with me. Chapter 1, verse 4. Now, the big picture of Ephesians, chapter 1 and 3, talks about the gospel. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about how you should live out the gospel. So follow with me. Chapter 1, verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. Okay, so we see right at the beginning, Paul's talking about the fact that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. There's a vertical element. Vertical is up and down. So there's a vertical element to what Paul is trying to say here. Okay, he continues in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, which actually Joseph read for us. It talks about salvation and the effects of salvation on our life. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It goes on to chapter 2, verse 13. Go to 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, okay, Paul is firmly communicating to this church the effects of salvation. There's a vertical element between you and God. But then he goes on to say, not only is there a vertical element, he then transitions to the reality that there's also a horizontal element. He says, look, if you've been saved, and you've been saved, and each of you have a relationship with God, you know what that means to all of us? That means we're in relationship as well. That means we're in relationship as a church. You are now connected to God's people and a part of God's church. And this is important to understand because we see this time throughout the whole timeline of the Bible. Back in Genesis 1, God is calling a people to himself to bring himself glory. Now this is an important truth. This is a weighty truth. He's calling a people for himself. So he's saying, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you. You're going to be my people, and here's how I want you to act. And I want you to act this way because when you live like this, it brings me glory. That's what God is saying. He said that throughout the Old Testament, and he's saying it again in Ephesians. He's saying, church, yes, there's a vertical element to your salvation, and then once you have been reconciled to God, you've also been reconciled to each other, brought into the church. And he's saying, church, and he's saying this to you teenagers, I want you to live and act in a way so that when others see you, it brings glory to me. That's what God is doing. That's the weight that is placed on us as God's people. And it's a good thing. He helps us do it. He helps us obey. But it's an important thing. So God says, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, and I don't want you to do that, that, or that. Why? Because God says, when people see your holy living, your conduct, they will know that I am God. So the same is true for us, the church, God's people. Because God has saved you and brought you into the church with others, and because you now belong to God, God is saying, you belong to me, now I want you to act like it. I want you to act like you're one of my people. Live in a way that reflects you are his. So, notice this is what Paul does in chapter 4, verse 1. He then transitions to talk about living a life that is reflecting the glory of God. Verse 1, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. So act like you're a Christian. Live worthy of the calling that you've received. If you believe God is the ruler of the universe, then God is saying, live like it. Act like it. If you really do believe Jesus is your king, then live like it. Act like it. Live in a way that reflects the fact that you are God's property. Because when we do that, and here's what I want you to understand, it reflects to everyone around us who God is and how great he is. So understanding the truth from the text, Ephesians 6, it'll help you when you understand, okay, here's what Paul is doing in this book. Yes, you've been reconciled to God, you've been reconciled to each other, you're brought into the church, and God says, hey church, this is how you are supposed to act, and this is how you're supposed to act, because when you do, I receive glory. That's what's going on in the book of Ephesians. So do you understand the implications when we get to Ephesians 6? So he's saying, hey, children, hey, you're together. You're now in the church. Teens, you're the church. You're a covenant of life right here. You're the next generation. He's saying, I want you to act in a certain way in relationship to your parents, because when you do that, it brings me glory. It brings God glory. So he's saying, well, how do you do that? Verse 1, honor them. Or number 1, honor. And number 2, obey. So that is what Paul is trying to do. That's where Ephesians is going. But do you see the staggering implications of that? It's not just, okay, honor your parents, obey your parents, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not an empty command. Because sometimes that isn't enough. You have to understand the timeline of the book, the timeline of history, who you are as God's people, and the fact that the way you respond to mom and dad, it's more about your relationship with God than it is about your relationship with your mom and dad. Does that make sense? So here's the two commands. Listen to it again. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And verse 2, honor your father and mother. So let's talk quickly about what obedience is and what honor is and how they're different. Well, obedience is kind of easy to understand, isn't it? When you say, what does it mean to obey? You've probably been taught a phrase from your early childhood of what it means to obey, about cheerfully, or what is it? Cheerfully, quickly, and whatever. Yeah, there you go. Did anyone have another one they were told to listen to? Or yeah, right away, all the way with a happy heart. That's the one we use. Obedience, yeah. Obedience is a little bit easier to understand, isn't it? Because it's easy to know when you obeyed, when you didn't obey. But honoring is a little bit more difficult to understand. What does it mean to honor? Does anyone know? What does it mean to honor? Yeah, show respect. Good. That's a good way to define it. You know what it literally means? It literally means give weight to. Thinking, okay, well, how does that help? When you honor someone's perspective, you give weight to their perspective. So let's say, for example, you're trying to work on your free throw shooting, all right? And you have three people there to help you with your free throw shooting. And the first person is your grandmother. And she's old and decrepit, and she doesn't know how to shoot a basketball, all right? She comes in and offers you some pointers on your shooting. Number two is Josh Harris. I mean, the boy can preach God's word and teach God's word, but if you've seen him on a basketball court, it's not pretty. Number three is Michael Jordan. So you have those three people, your old decrepit grandmother, your non-athletic senior pastor, and Michael Jordan, all right? Now, if they went down the line and each gave you pointers on how to shoot a free throw, would there be one perspective that you would give more weight to? Yes or no? Yes. Whose perspective would you give more weight to? Josh Harris. No! Honor means giving weight to, listening more intently to what this person has to say because of who they are and because of what they're sharing with you. That's what it means to honor. It means whose opinion are you going to trust? That whose opinion are you going to respect? Are you going to honor the most? So put this scenario into any scenario in your life. You have different people, different friends offering you advice. And then you have your parents offering you advice. Whose opinion are you going to honor the most? Are you going to respect the most? It's possible to disagree with your parents, but still honor them. Because honoring them is about your heart. Honoring them is about respecting mom and dad and the position that they have in your life that has been given to them by God. You are to honor your parents. They really do love you. They know what is best, even though sometimes you don't believe that or you don't feel that. They want the best for you. But most importantly, you're called to honor your parents because God has called them to lead you. And that's the way he has established his kingdom. Why do you have parents? Because God gave them that way. So why Do you have parents? Because that's the way God has established it. That's the way He's established His kingdom. Why is there an authority in your life? That's the way God has established it. He's the ruler of the universe. He can create a universe however He wants to, and that's how He's done it. So in this passage, what we need to see is that your love for God can be seen in how you honor your parents. So it's not just an empty verse, Ephesians 6:1, honor and obey, honor and obey. No, no, it's about something much bigger than that. This is about your relationship with God. It's about how much you love and have faith and respect God. And if God is the one telling you this, then you will obey that. It has much more staggering implications to it than just an empty obey and honor. The entirety of this book links your love for God with your honoring of your parents. You can't do one without the other. I've heard teenagers say, you know, I love God and I want to follow Him, but then at home, they're just completely disrespectful to their parents. And it's like, wait a sec, you're missing something here. You can't disassociate the two. You can't unlink the two. God's word is clear. If you love God, you will honor and obey your parents. So it doesn't mean that your parents are always right. Sometimes I think kids think, well, you're just telling me that parents are always right. No, not at all. I think your parents will be first to admit. If they don't, tell them to come talk to me and I'll remind them. We're not always right. And sometimes it's hard for teenagers to hear the answer, because I said so, isn't it? Like, you really want to do something and you can't do it, and the answer is because I said so. Or there's maybe a time where you're trying to convince mom and dad of something and they just don't understand it. And they're saying something, you're like, no, you're missing it. See, in that moment, that's an opportunity for you to trust God. Because there are going to be times where they're wrong. There are going to be times where they blow it. But the Bible doesn't say honor your parents when they're right. The Bible doesn't say honor your parents when you feel like it. The Bible doesn't say honor your parents when they finally hear your side of the story fully. The Bible says honor your parents. It's not conditional on whatever condition you would place in it. See, in those moments, this is what I want you to realize as teenagers, even when you're tempted in those moments, you can express faith and love to God for how you are interacting with your parents. Does that make sense? So when I talk to teenagers and there's conflict in the home, and it's true for most teenagers, probably all teenagers, I want to encourage those teenagers. You know what? This is more about your heart, and this is more about your relationship with God than it is just with your parents. I think most of the teens here, not all parents or teens here have parents that are Christians. Some have one that's a Christian. Some have been adopted. There's a lot of different stories. So there are some situations that this needs to be nuanced and treated differently. And how do you honor if your parents are telling you to do something that's contrary to Scripture? I'll say, well, let's talk about that. That's a great question. But I think the most of you guys have parents who are here in this church who do genuinely love you, and they want to see you obey God. So given what honor is, it's giving weight to what mom and dad are saying. Let me just hear some ways. How are ways that someone can demonstrate not honoring their parents? What are some outward evidences of teens not honoring their parents? Just wanted to make sure you guys are connecting here. We talked about what it is. We talked a lot about what it is. Give me an example of what it's not. Disrespect. Yeah, showing disrespect. Okay. How can disrespect be shown? Arguing. Good. Not listening to advice. Okay, good. Yeah, disobeying them completely. How else? Yeah, mouthing off when they tell you to do something. That's pretty tempting, isn't it? You want to talk back. But again, you can disagree with mom and dad, but do it in a way that honors them. Doesn't mean you have to just blindly submit in every single thing. But you got to check your heart to make sure you're not mouthing off. That's great. How else? Yeah, disobeying purposefully. How else? Yeah, isn't that a temptation? Like, oh, I can't believe my parents won't let me out tonight. I can't come out tonight. It's, my mom and dad are crazy. Why aren't my mom and dad as cool as those mom and dads over there? Good, what else? Someone's hand was up over here. Zach? Yeah, yelling back, getting angry back. Good. Deceiving your parents. Excellent. Not that that's excellent. You know what I mean. It's just an excellent answer. Yeah, rolling your eyes. You know, I was in a meeting with a parent and teen, and the teen's just like this when mom and dad's sharing. It's like, okay, that's an expression, I think, of disrespecting them, dishonoring them. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them fully, but you can still honor and listen to what they're saying. Good. How else? Yeah, walking away, kicking the door, punching a wall. Yeah, walking away when they're, I think Proverbs gives us a good look as to what it looks like to honor. It's not walk away, but it's actually press into what they're saying. Proverbs 2 uses these kinds of words. My son, receive my words, treasure up my commandments, incline your ear, call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. So it's call out, raise, seek, search for. Now that doesn't have the connotation of like you're walking away, does it? What's the connotation there? Wisdom looks like you're pressing in, you're looking for your parents' wisdom. Good. How else? Gossip? Good. How else? Yeah, you can obey with the wrong attitude. Exactly. You can obey your parents, do what they say, but do it with a grumbling heart. What else? Any other examples? Yeah. Acknowledge lip service, right? Say, okay, mom and dad, and then walk away and do something completely different. Yeah. Good. Delayed responses, not doing it right away. Yeah, trying to deceive them. What was that? Crashing their car? Is on purpose? Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't think of that one. That's not one I wrote down, but you definitely would show dishonor if you were just like, that's it, mom, dad, I'm going to crash your car. And you ran it into a tree. That's definitely not the way to go. Can always count on Dave Porter for a good answer, can't you? So you guys understand what it means to show dishonor. It sounds like you're making the connection. And I want you to see from God's Word that it's not just an isolated verse in the Bible, but it really is about your relationship with the Lord. It's about the way God has established His kingdom and the way He wants you as teenagers to act as a part of His church. And when we do that, here's the amazing thing. When you honor, even when you don't want to, when you honor, even when mom and dad really don't get it or really not understanding your perspective, you can still honor them, and that brings glory to God. That's why honor is more about your heart before God than it is about your relationship with your parents. So not only do we want to develop deep convictions from God's Word, but we also want to hear some stories about different lessons learned about honoring parents. So I've asked a couple of the people from admin, Corinne and Julie Bowers and Chris Moresco, if they could come up and share lessons they learned when they were in high school, and hopefully it will help you, number one, to realize you're normal, because there's a lot of people that struggle with what you're struggling with, but number two, that God gives grace within that struggle, and that God will help even within that struggle. So can we get this mic on? Corinne, you want to go first? Can we thank them for coming up and sharing with us their stories? Just lessons learned about their relationships with their parents.
Hi, guys. Well, my parents taught me when I was younger that when I obey them, I'm ultimately obeying and honoring God and being a light to the world. As a child, that obedience was shown through my actions, whether it was doing a chore, my homework, being kind to my little sisters, or getting ready for bed when they asked me to. I knew Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 by heart. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life in the land. But my obedience often stemmed from a heart that didn't want to get corrected or get in trouble. I focused more on the fact that if I obeyed, things would go well for me, rather than if I obey, I'm doing what is right in God's eyes. However, as I got to middle school and high school, respect and honor of my parents began to take a different form. I was never in a state of rebellion against my parents, but I never made it easy for them either. I definitely disrespected them and disobeyed them. I was unkind to my sisters. I didn't do what they asked me to do right away. And when they did, I responded in arguing or yelling or screaming or having a bad attitude. But the concept of obeying immediately, completely, and cheerfully was completely thrown out the window. And I struggled daily with respecting their decisions that they had made for me. But by God's mercy, in seventh grade, at the last celebration, God broke my heart of sinfulness, disrespect of my parents, and my lack of love in my actions and words to them. God began to reveal to me that loving my parents and obeying them wasn't something that I had a choice in doing. It was my call as His child to honor and glorify them. I didn't get to choose whether I wanted to obey them. I had to honor and obey them, and I should want to honor and obey them because it glorified God. And by His grace, at that ministry night, He changed my heart. Now I can honestly say that my parents are my best friends. God has really allowed me to open up to them and to be honest with them about everything, which really made all of high school so much easier. We had an open relationship, so I could talk to them about the things I was struggling with, and we would have a conversation about the things that I wanted to do, rather than it being where they told me something and then I got upset. But it was more we talked about things, and it made it so much easier. That my parents are truly my best friends. They are my confidants, my cheerleaders, my biggest advocates, my role models, my counselors, and my heroes. Now that I'm an adult, my relationship is definitely different. We talk about a lot of stuff, and I know that I can go to them whenever I need them. And it isn't something where I don't want to listen to them and I make my own decisions. I go to my parents now and I ask them for help rather than just making my own decisions on my own. I want to honor my parents now because I know that it glorifies God, and it shows that I love them and that I am grateful for the two people who love me the most on this earth. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Oh, this is loud. I want to start out by sharing with you a promise from Scripture. James 4:6 says, "But He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." How was this true for me in high school? Entering junior year of high school, I'd always been completely open with my parents. I'd been open with them about my conversations with other people, what girls I liked and had crushes on, and did my best not to hide things from them. But as I entered 11th grade, I started to turn away from the convictions I had and began to listen to the lies that the world and the devil had to say about my parents. I didn't need them, and they didn't need to know what was going on in my world. Other lies, like the idea that they didn't know what it was like to be in high school anymore. Like the majority of you out there, I like someone, and this time I decided I wanted to follow my emotions and feelings rather than let my parents know about the things going on. This was the first major mistake I made. My parents had set restrictions and rules for my good and the well-being of my soul. Yet I decided to go behind their backs and lie to them and not be open with them at all. Not only did I lie to them, I also lied to my friends who were trying to care for me and my well-being. I lived like this for an entire year and was the worst state to be in. I was miserable. As I went further and further behind their backs, I started believing lies such as, if I confess to them now, they're not going to forgive me. It'll just be worse. But as I continued to live in secret and sin, faithful friends continued bringing me concerns and observations, even when I did not want to hear them. One particular friend brought an observation to me, and my dad wanted me to meet with him. I kept lying until I got to the place where I couldn't go on lying anymore. I was miserable in my sin and couldn't live that way anymore. I opened up and confessed to my parents all that had gone on for the past year. Confessing my sin felt like there was a weight lifting off of my shoulders. The next week, it was horrible yet amazing. As my parents set restrictions I did not like, it made me lean upon and cry out to God in a way that had been hard to do for the year before. My parents were setting boundaries for me because they loved me. One friend brought me Psalm 16:6. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. As I was honest and open with my parents, as I confessed my sins and weaknesses to my parents, God blessed me immensely and poured out his grace and mercy upon me. I just want to close in the scripture that one of the scriptures that Dave has been preaching from and Corinne mentioned. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Guys, if you honor your parents and you are open with them about where you are, God is going to bless you. Thanks.
Hey, guys. I've had the unique privilege of being close with my mom and dad since I was little. Completely by God's grace, I never really had a true period of rebellion against them. However, even though we had a good relationship, I used to take them for granted. I never realized how much I could learn from them, and I also never realized how much fun it can be to have your parents be your best friends. I didn't realize I was taking my parents for granted until the day my older sister challenged me. She sat me down and said, "Julie, you are only going to have one mom and dad, and all the time you spend trying to do the things your own way and don't ask for their counsel and don't seek to have a deeper relationship is time wasted and that you'll never be able to get back." I left that conversation thinking, I don't want to look back and think I've wasted my relationship with my amazing parents. That day, I finally took my mom up on all the offers to have accountability with her, and that seriously forever changed our relationship. We would hang out and just have an absolute blast. Then I would just share my struggles and prayer requests with her, and my mom would challenge and love me more than anyone. My mom became my absolute best friend. I trusted her with everything, and I told her everything. The closer we became, the more involved in each other's lives we became. The counsel she gave me over my high school years has continued to direct my life even now while I'm in college. And the ways she challenged me during high school have also changed my life to this very day. My mom and dad have been my source of wisdom, they have been my comfort, and they have been my best friends. My mom passed away when I was in high school, and I would give anything to be able to listen to her biblical counsel just one more time. I cannot thank God enough for allowing me to become so close with my parents. I thank God that I did not waste the time I had with my mother, and I thank God I did not waste our relationship. All of this is an absolute blessing from the Lord. Without his grace and without my sister's challenge, I would have wasted my relationship with my parents. And my biggest burden today for the youth of this church is that you guys would realize God has placed your parents in your lives for a reason. And I pray that you all will not look back on your high school years and think, I have wasted my relationship with my parents. And I pray that you all will take every opportunity you can to deepen your relationship with your parents and to realize the joy that comes from heeding their counsel. And I promise you, you will not regret it. Thank you.
Well, let's not waste any part of your relationship with your mom and dad. Let's press in to that relationship, follow the example of the people who just shared. And let me just remind you, this is ultimately about your relationship with the Lord. Whether you believe God's word is true, whether you believe he is right in the way he has established his kingdom. So you guys have heard different ways of what it looks like to honor. You've offered examples of what it looks like to not extend honor. Now your parents are on the other side of the building and they're being told, here's ways that you can help your teens honor you. And here are ways that maybe are not helpful in your relationship with your teens in terms of allowing them to show honor to you. But I really want to place the emphasis on you guys. I really want to challenge you guys from God's word. You remember, God's word addressed you before your parents. And it calls you children. And Paul addresses children first. So I really just want to challenge you now, just to identify just one way. And it may look different for different people. You don't have to go through a whole list in your mind. But just one way that you've potentially shown disrespect or dishonor to your parents in your relationship with them. Maybe it's been a pattern. Maybe it's just one time over this past week. But let's identify that. And I just want to encourage you. We're just going to take just a couple minutes to pray at the end here. Just pray for God's strength, because let's be honest, it can be hard at times, can it, to show honor, to show respect to your parents. You have sin at work in your heart that is trying to convince you to not do that. But this is where God comes in, and through His Holy Spirit, He gives us the help to do what is difficult. He gives you the help to honor and respect mom and dad when it is very difficult to do, when you're fighting for it in that moment, in that relationship, in that moment where there's an argument. You are called by God to honor your parents, and God can give you the strength to do that. So I want to just encourage you, just right now, take a moment, identify just one area where you've potentially shown disrespect or dishonor to your parents, all right? Now here's what I would love to encourage you to do. It's not a hard assignment, but here's your assignment. Talk to your mom and dad about that. Can you do that? Just say, hey, mom and dad, here's what Mr. Brewer challenged us to do. He challenged us to obey God's word, recognizing that my honoring and obeying of you is more about my relationship with Him than it is about our relationship. And here's the way that I think the Lord convicted me. Here's a way that maybe I'm not showing you the respect that I should be. So that's your assignment. I want you to talk to your parents about that, okay? And let's pray together to close, just asking for God's help to do that. Okay? Let's pray together. Well, God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have established Your kingdom. You have established Your church in such a way where You've given us the family as an institution to further Your glory. And God, You've given all the teenagers here an authority figure. Parents, God, that love them. And God, I pray for every teenager here. I pray that You would help them by Your Spirit to honor and obey their parents. And God, where it's difficult, I just pray that You would give them the strength to do that. God, thank You for sending Your Son to the cross and dying for our sins. And it's because of the gospel that we now have the Holy Spirit living in us. If we've confessed Jesus with our mouth and we've believed on Him, we have the Holy Spirit living in us that gives us the power to obey. So God, I pray that You would give grace to every teenager here. God, I pray that You would bless every relationship that these teens have with their parents. God, I pray that You would just build in every teenager a deep conviction that this is what You've called them to. This is Your word. God, ultimately, this is about You. This is about Your glory. And when we obey Your word and follow You, we are displaying Your glory to everyone who is watching. So God, help and bless every relationship that is in this 1031 ministry. God, we want to bring glory to You. We want to bring honor to You. And a parent's relationship with their teenager, it's about You. So God, give grace, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.